The prophet Hosea is writing to the children of Israel. The children of Israel are in a time of great distress in their history. And as you think of the nation of Israel, as you think of the people of Israel, it's important to understand that back in the book of Deuteronomy, God said in regard to Israel that he loved them with an everlasting love. He would tell them, I've chosen you, not because you are great, not because you are mighty, not because you are great in number, but because I loved you, because I made a promise to your forefathers. And yet, in the life of the nation of Israel, Israel would go through, there would be times when Israel would be at peace as a nation, as a people, and there were times where they would know the prosperity, the goodness of God, and everything would be well. But you know, as you read through the Old Testament, there are many times when Israel is going through distressing times as a nation. Distressing times that would affect them as a nation, would affect them as people, would affect them as families, would affect them as individuals. And as you look at those distressing times, we can look back and we can see that there were times in Israel that, yes, it was definitely God's hand of judgment and chastening upon them individually as a nation, as a people, as a group. Other times it was that God was judging or getting the attention of the whole world, and they were part of it, and it affected them as well. There were other times where they were just going through distressing circumstances because it's part of life, because we live in a world that is cursed by sin. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, it says this world is cursed by sin. And so as we think of what we are facing today, we need to be careful. I believe we need to be careful as people, as individuals, to not presume to know exactly what is in the mind of God. For what we're going through today, could it be God's hand of judgment upon the world? Yes. Could it be God's hand of judgment upon a certain group? Yes. Could it be just a result of sin in the world that has affected this world, and through the curse of sin, we have an epidemic and a pandemic that is affecting people? Yes. I don't have the answer to that. I'm not going to stand here today and say the reason for what we're going through is this, 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 or that. That is God's prerogative. That is God's determination, not mine. But I do believe that Hosea chapter 10 gives us a message, as was given to Israel and is giving to us, that in all of this, it is a time for something. It's a time to seek the Lord. It's a time to seek the Lord. You know, it's interesting that back in 1919, there was another pandemic that swept across the United States and swept across the world. And in the middle of it, there was a poem that was recirculated. It was a poem that a lady by the name of Kathleen O'Mara wrote when Ireland, years before this, centuries before that, had a great distress in their nation, as there was famine and disease that swept through Ireland. And she wrote this poem, and it's an interesting poem, and it's an encouraging poem. And it says this: and people stayed at home and read books and listened, and they rested and did exercises and made art and played and learned new ways of being and stopped and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some met their shadow. People began to think differently, and people healed. And in the absence of people who lived in ignorant ways, dangerous, meaningless, and heartless, the earth also began to heal. And when the danger ended, and people found themselves, they grieved for the dead and made new choices, dreamed of new visions, created new ways of living, and completely healed the earth just as they were healed. This was a poem that was written in 1869. It was reprinted in 1919, and it's being recirculated even right now in this time in which we live in it. It's an encouraging poem because it speaks about how all these distresses that come upon nations and come upon the world, that they come and they pass, and life, in a general way of speaking, and life goes on, and life will go on. It will be difficult. It'll be challenging. There will be grief and sorrow over the loss of loved ones as we go through this. But in the weeks and months ahead, life will go on. And that's encouraging. But you know, in chapter 10, it says that we ought to be careful to understand that in this time, that God has a greater purpose for it. And it's a purpose that we would seek the Lord. You know, while I speak of it, and while I mention this, and as I said before, I leave the prerogative of why this exactly is taking place in the heart and mind of God, who is perfect in all his ways, and his judgments are righteous and true altogether. But I'm also careful to just be aware and understanding of the seriousness of what we are facing. And I'd caution you as well, because the Bible gives us the answer. But understand this, there's many false teachers out there. And there's many false prophets out there. Boy, I tell you what, and I wouldn't encourage you to listen to them, but they're showing their true colors right now. I was listening the other day to one prominent false teacher he's absolutely false. And he made this statement that if you're really one of God's children, if you're really saved, that this virus has no power over your life. That if you're really a child of God, you won't get sick. Well, my friend, that's a flat-out lie from the pit of hell. And he is a false teacher. Because I personally know a couple of pastor friends of mine that right now, in the last couple of weeks, their families are suffering from this epidemic. And God never said that we are exempt from the illnesses and diseases that go through this world. Another false prophet and false teacher, prominent man on the television, stood up and said this. And he said this on March 29th at 12 o'clock. And he made this declaration that he himself, as a prophet, declared the coronavirus to be gone. He said, it is finished. It is dead. It is done. Well, here we are in April. And once again, he has been proven false. He's a liar. He's not of God. And so, in all of this, you have the reality of what we are facing, the reality of the situation, the reality of the circumstances. And it's not for us to pronounce the reason why, specifically, God knows. But it's also not for us to come up with these wild statements, like such as these false prophets would make. But it is for us to open up the Word of God and to take this time and to say, Lord, what would you have for me in these days? Because as we go through this, the majority of the conversation and the majority of the subject matter and the majority of the talk in the world is focusing on what is taking place in regard to this virus, what is taking place. And the news and our conversation, and rightly so, is is centered on that, but to just focus on that conversation and to minimize talking about the Lord, we are doing a great disservice to God and a great harm to ourselves. And so I want to speak to you this morning from this phrase right here. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. And the reason I say that is because this has disrupted our lives. It has disrupted everybody's life. It's disrupted every aspect of our life. And it is causing us to stop and think about things. It is causing us to stop and think about our priorities. It is causing us to stop and think about the way we live and how we live. It's causing us to just stop and pause and think about things. Someone was speaking to me the other day, and they said they wake up every morning, and the first thing they do is they are just thankful for the fact that God has given them another day. They're alive. And I tell you what, as we go through this, it makes you appreciate the things that we have in this life. It makes you appreciate a lot more. As I've said before, I tell you what, it's giving me a greater appreciation for every time each and every one of you gathers together in this building as Lakes Palm Baptist Church. But we ought to stop and think. It's time to seek the Lord. And look, I want to give you 3 points this morning. And you know, as we stop and think about this phrase, it's time to seek the Lord, I believe first and foremost, and of all people in the world as we go through this, that the first people that ought to be prioritizing seeking the Lord is the church. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Israel would go through a distressing time, and God would speak to them, and God would use prophets, men of God that would bring forth a true message from God, men that had a heart for God, that feared God more than man, and yet cared for the souls of the people of Israel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon would say this, verse number 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But you notice in verse number 14 where the emphasis and the focus and the priority is? It's on God's people. It says, if God's people, and in the Old Testament, it's speaking about Israel. But if you were to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the same thing is stated in 1 Peter chapter 4 when it says this, for the time is come, in verse number 17, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? But it says the judgment, or the introspection, or the seeking of God, as we read in Hosea, should first begin in the hearts and the lives of Christians. Before we cast aspersions on the world, before we say it's time for the world to wake up, I believe it's time for us to wake up. And it's time for us to seek the Lord more than ever before. I know this, that as a pastor, it has really caused me. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I stop and just think about everything that concerns Lakes Palm Baptist Church. And especially, but especially, I think about preaching, teaching, bringing forth the Word of God. I don't take lightly standing in this pulpit. And every week I just pray as I go through the week and I said, Lord, you need to give me exactly what you want me to say next week. I don't go online and say, well, this preacher's preaching this and this preacher's preaching that and therefore I must preach this. No, I seek the Lord. And when the Lord brings me to a passage of scripture, when the Lord gives me peace and confirmation in my heart, then I say, okay, Lord, that's what I'll preach. And this is what the Lord has brought to me this week, is this message that it's time to seek the Lord. But it's time for you and me as Christians, and we ought to be seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, my life, my relationship with you, show me, Lord, where is it weak? Where can it be strengthened? Where does it need greater cleansing? Lord, work in my life. What in my life needs to be changed by you, Lord? And so first of all, I say and I challenge us as Christians to get on our knees and get open the Word of God and say, Lord, show me my life. Show me my life. Are my priorities right? Is my walk with you really where it ought to be? What in my life, Lord, is hindering the Spirit of God? What in my life is grieving the Spirit of God? What in my life, Lord, is Lord, what is it that you want to remove? What is it that you want to strengthen? What is it you want to teach me in these times? And so I believe, first of all, there needs to be a time of seeking the Lord in these days by God's people. Solomon said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And so first of all, there's a time, and the time is now, for God's people to really take time and get alone and seek the face of God in our lives. But then as we go on in chapter 10 and verse 12, it said it is time to seek the Lord. I believe also that as a church, as Christians, that as we seek the Lord in our lives, point number one is that the church should realize it's time to seek the Lord. That we also, point number two, should be careful to make sure that we have compassion for those around us. That we have compassion for those around us. There is so much time and wasted energy and wrongful wasting of energy in judging and criticizing everybody around us, when instead, if we're seeking the Lord for ourselves, ought to be seeking the Lord for others with compassion. Turn over to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And as you turn there, I'll give you about a half an hour to find it, by the way. But as you turn there to Habakkuk chapter 3, do you remember the story of Jonah? Usually when we think about Jonah, we focus on how God had him cast into the water, and the great fish, that whale, swallowed him up. But do you remember why Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord? It's because God gave Jonah a message and God gave Jonah a call to go and preach a message of warning to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to. Jonah didn't want to because they weren't his friends. They were an enemy nation. And Jonah says, I don't want to go preach to Nineveh, because if I preach to Nineveh the message of God, there's a chance they might listen. There's a chance that they might repent. There's a chance that they might get right with God, and God might forgive them and God might bless them. No, I don't want to go. And God says, well, I want you to go. He says, because my purpose is that they would hear my word and turn to me. And eventually Jonah went and he preached. And Nineveh repented. Jonah got upset because Jonah's attitude was not right in regard to God's message to the people of Nineveh. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, it's a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. In verse 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. And I believe as we seek the Lord as a church, as Christians, as we seek the Lord in our lives, that we should be seeking the Lord with compassion for others. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1, by the way. Just stop and consider for a moment the early church. And consider from, and think about how your perspective would be and how our perspective ought to be. The Bible says we should have compassion. We should be seeking mercy from the Lord for those around us. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's the testimony of a man by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And in a moment, in verse number 12, it says of chapter 1, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he goes on to say, he says, before I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. He says, this is what I was, but I obtained mercy. He obtained mercy that day on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. But you know, it was just a short time before that in Acts chapter 7, where Paul, who at that point was referred to as Saul, is standing as a man named Stephen, a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost, a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And Saul was one of those that was persecuting him. And he was standing there holding the coats as this man was stoned and martyred for his faith. And I wonder how many of that early church, when they thought of Saul, I wonder what their heart really was towards Saul. Were they praying for judgment? Or were they pleading for God's mercy upon that man's life? Because you know, Paul said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. He says, but I obtained mercy. And look what he says. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The bottom line is this, that Christ Jesus, and this is a time when we focus upon the suffering and the death and the burial, and next week the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, all sinners. Christ is not a respecter of persons. Christ died for all. Paul, because of the mercy of God, God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Paul said, I obtained mercy. But look at verse number 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And Paul says, my life and my testimony, and the fact and the truth that I received the mercy of God that day on the road to Damascus is a testimony. It's a testimony. And I believe it's a twofold testimony. It's a testimony to the world that God desires to have mercy upon your soul. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. But I believe it's also a message to us, to remind us that God desires to have mercy upon the world. And that we should plead with God and seek the face of God for mercy in the lives of others. The Bible says some, having compassion, make a difference. And so first of all, when we think of this truth in Hosea, that it is time to seek the Lord. For us as a church, Christians, it's time to seek the Lord in our personal lives, in our ministries. It's time for us to seek the Lord. But I believe it's also time for us to seek the Lord with compassion for others. With compassion for others. But you know, in Hosea chapter 10, there's one more. In Hosea chapter 10, it's time for to seek the Lord for us as a church. It's time for us to seek the Lord. And excuse me, this is allergies, by the way. It's time for us to seek the Lord with compassion. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, if you're listening, and you don't have the assurance that you're saved this morning, it's time for you to seek the Lord. It's time for you to seek the Lord. And in these days, it ought to be a time where you allow the Spirit of God and you allow God to truly bring conviction to you. Conviction to you. That you would allow the Lord to stir your heart to really think about your life, and especially your life in regard to God. You know, in the book of Amos, chapter 4 of Amos, this prophet, Amos, would speak. And he would say in verse number 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And whether it's during these circumstances that causes you to think, or just on a normal day, you stop to think. How are you going to meet God? How is it going to be when you do meet God? Because every one of us will meet God one day. I know in my life, because I've trusted in Jesus Christ, my Savior, I know that I will be welcomed into the presence of God. Jesus Christ has promised me that. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus has promised me, because I've placed my faith in him as my Savior, he says, I will come again. He says, I will receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you can be also. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, or 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5, therefore we can have confidence, knowing that while we are absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. So I have that confidence, that assurance, that when I meet God, it's going to be a day of rejoicing. It's going to be a day of welcoming into the presence of God. And I will spend eternity in the presence of God with Jesus Christ. But Jesus also said something in John 14, in verse number 6. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus said, if you don't come by me, you don't come to the Father. oh, you'll come to God and you'll meet God, but it won't be as a father welcoming home a child. It'll be as a judge, holy and righteous, pronouncing sentence, and you will be cast out from the presence of God. You know, over in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, Jesus would meet with a young man, and he would say this to this young man. In verse number 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I ask you this morning, as you might be listening this morning, as you might be watching it, and I ask this with a genuine, sincere, and God and the Holy Spirit knows my heart. I ask this with a genuine burden for your soul. Back in the Old Testament, the psalmist at one point would say, no man cared for my soul. I can tell you this morning that there's one man standing before you this morning is willing to stand up and preach the truth for no other reason apart from this. God knows my heart. I care for your soul. I care for your soul more than I care for your approval, more than I care for your friendship. I care for your soul. And the Lord said, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world? If you gain everything you can in this world, if you succeed in every aspect of life, but you lose this, you lose your soul. What is it all worth? Absolutely nothing. It goes on to say this in verse 37. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't give anything in exchange for your soul. All you can do, and yet it's the best thing you can do, is trust in what Jesus Christ has already given for your soul. Jesus Christ gave his life for your soul. He gave himself for you. And that's what the Apostle Paul came to realize that day on the road to Damascus. And that's why Paul obtained mercy. That's why Paul, when he trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, his life was changed forever. That's why Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so this morning, as we think of Hosea says, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. These circumstances, the days, the weeks, the months will go on, and life will continue on. It'll be difficult. It'll be challenging. It'll be hard. It'll be strange to get back. And it might take weeks. It might take months. No one really knows how long it will take. But in this time, and in these moments, may I just challenge you one more time and say, it's time to seek the Lord. Christians, church, it's time to seek the Lord for our own lives, for our own selves. It's time for us to seek the Lord for mercy and long-suffering and grace upon others. And for you, if you're listening and watching this morning, it might be time for you to seek the Lord in regard to the saving of your soul. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, as I was just studying history, I'm not a real history buff. I'm not one of these guys that loves to go back and read everything about history. But I was going back and just doing a little studying of events that have taken place, major events, disastrous events, distressing events that have taken place over the course of time. And I was reading about the pandemics and the health issues and the circumstances that have gone on in the course of our country and other countries in times past. And And then I was reading, and I began just focusing on another period of time. And it was in the 1700s. It was actually 1730 to 1740, somewhere around that time frame, where something else spread across our country, spread across New England. And it really was affecting a lot of people. And it was a spiritual awakening. It's called a Great Awakening. And it's when folks began to talk about nothing else but the Lord. God stirred up the hearts of people from here in New London County all the way over to Hartford County, up through Massachusetts. And God stirred the hearts of people. And people began to think seriously about their life. They began to think seriously about their eternity, about their relationship with God, about their sin and how that brought them to a place where they stood guilty before a holy God and needed to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And there was a great awakening. People came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. People were distressed over their relationship and they would cry unto the Lord to be saved. And it was a great spiritual awakening that took place in our country in that time. But you know what the interesting thing was? That you can't really put your finger on what brought it about. You see, in the 1730s and 1740s, to the best of my knowledge, as I went through and I just searched and I said, okay, list all the events that were taking place in the 1730s. What was going on? Was there some great event that caused people to awaken? Was there a pandemic? Was there something else? And there was absolutely nothing. It was a time where life was just going smooth, if you will. Colonies were being formed, and communities were being started. But all of a sudden, and I believe it was simply the work of God, that people began to stop and think more about their relationship with God than anything else. Young people, older people, families, and as a result, hearts were awakened to God. And it wasn't caused by something that was taking place nationally or internationally. It was simply that people started to focus on God more than anything else. And that's why I believe that it's time, folks. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to stop and say, wait a minute. My life, my relationship with God, where is it? How is it? Do I need a relationship with God? So Christians, seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Church, seek the Lord. Seek with compassion, praying for mercy upon others. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, it's especially time for you to seek the Lord. For there's only one way to be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray.